Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here is your host, Dr. Neil Nathan.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan from Gordon Medical Associates. And at this time, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, Frequency Specific Microcurrent, Real Time Laboratories, and Natural Immunogenics for making this program possible. Since I personally use these programs daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of them when appropriate. Now, as mentioned, we are live, so if you have questions for myself or my guest, Dr. Larian, please call us at 1-866-472-5792, or you can email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net. I would like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app. You can find us on iTunes, Google Playtime, and Kindle all for free. If you're into social media, like us, share us. We have our own Facebook page, and you can go to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today to ask questions, which we'll happily answer. So, without further ado, I am delighted to welcome to our program today Dr. Babak Larian, who is the Chairman and Director of the Center for Advanced Parathyroid Surgery in Beverly Hills. He is one of the leading international experts in parathyroid surgery. He is renowned for his expertise in minimally invasive surgery applied to the treatment of parathyroid disorders, and he is a pioneer in this field. After graduating from the UC Irvine School of Medicine with academic and humanitarian distinction, he completed the six-year residency program in otolaryngology, head and neck surgery at UCLA. Today, he holds the prestigious position of clinical chief of the Division of Otolaryngology at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. So, without further ado, let me introduce Dr. Larian.
Hello, Dr. Nathan. I'm so happy to be on your show.
Great. Well, I am delighted to have you on our show, and it would seem to me that the first questions listeners would have is, even the title, hyperparathyroidism, is kind of a mouthful, and so the question would be, okay, and how does that apply to me, and why should I care about this? So just as a startup, to demystify that word, sorry about the long medical term, hyper
right.
just means too much. Parathyroid, para means around, and thyroid, the thyroid gland, and the parathyroid glands are four little glands usually on the backside of the thyroid gland. So basically we're going to be talking today about conditions that affect these parathyroid glands.
Correct.
So, Dr. Larian, help us understand, why should we care about that? How can this help us?
Well, the parathyroid glands control the level of calcium in your blood. And every cell in the body uses calcium to function and also to communicate with the surrounding cells. So, for example, nerve tissue uses calcium changes inside itself to communicate a message to the next nerve cell or a muscle. And so all these important functions happen because of calcium. That's why we have four tiny little organs in charge of it. This is the only organ in the body we have four copies of because it does such an important job. When sometimes there's an error or a mistake in one of these glands and one of them becomes overactive and produces too much parathyroid hormone, the level of calcium in the body rises from what's normal and normally functional for a person to a much higher level, in which case the body starts to become inefficient and malfunction.
So we call that, you know, hyperparathyroidism. Sorry for the long word. And what we're really talking about are conditions that would make one or more of these glands enlarge or swell or grow to make this happen. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It's usually one of the glands that does that. Majority of times is one of the four that becomes abnormal.
So calcium is critically important. Our body has put into place multiple mechanisms to regulate our calcium flow. The storage form for calcium is the bones. So when the body needs to put more calcium in the body, it just pulls it out of the bones.
Correct.
So this can become a problem later on here. So perhaps we could go over what symptoms would somebody have who had a problem with their parathyroid glands making too much hormone.
Well, as the calcium level goes up, all the organs in the body will work inefficiently. So starting from the nervous system and the brain, patients oftentimes complain about being fatigued and tired and have a lack of motivation. They often feel anxious, irritable, and easily excitable. They have poor sleep patterns. They can't think straight. They describe this sense of fogginess when they try to do something. Memory loss. These are all the symptoms of the nervous system. Then the heart starts having abnormal rhythm and beats and palpitations. Blood pressure can rise up. The kidney can malfunction. You can form kidney stones. The intestines slow down and get constipation at times and a lot of acid remaining in the stomach and refluxing back up into the throat. In addition, you can have problems with the bone, which is one of the major problems, with losing its concentration of calcium. And so these patients go on to develop osteoporosis.
So
every major organ in the body is affected.
Right, so this is a global issue. For many of our listeners who are know that we spend a lot of time talking about things like chronic fatigue or chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, oddly enough, many of these symptoms could be mistaken for these conditions. We have the fatigue, we have the bone pain, we have poor sleep, we have perhaps some anxiety or depression, difficulty with cognition, not concentrating. And often those are symptoms that we have run into similarly. But in this particular case, we have a very specific cause.
Absolutely. There was actually a recent article where they looked at all the patients who had been previously diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and they discovered that about 25% of those patients actually were suffering from hyperparathyroidism because the symptoms are so similar and vague.
Right. So I think for our listeners, this may be a lot more common than most people would have possibly imagined. And from my reading, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, 1% of the population will develop this as time goes on. And it's particularly common in older women over 50, where it might reach as much as 2%.
Correct. As we get older, the chance of this happening rises up, of course. But it is very common and is oftentimes not diagnosed.
This is important. It's about calcium. The symptoms are almost ubiquitous. So it's the kind of thing that if you just feel poorly, it might be something that you might think about. Fortunately, it's one of the ways of diagnosing it, or at least getting a tip-off, would be our basic chemistry panel that people run includes calcium. So what would we expect to see on that as a kind of a tip-off that this might be happening?
You know, usually what happens is that if you track patients' calcium over time that develop this disease, you'll notice that there's a gradual increase in the number. And it starts in the normal range at first, going from mid-normal or low-normal range, which is where they usually are, and then slowly comes up to the upper normals, and then goes into the abnormal range. And then at some point, it plateaus. And so to identify this disease, what you have to do is look at the calcium level. If you have symptoms and your calciums are even slightly elevated, you shouldn't allow your physician to dismiss this as just a one-time event and so on. We should actually pursue it by having repeat studies to see if this is actually a trend that's staying on. And if it is, then you can follow it by doing a parathyroid hormone check, which if that is also elevated, it does completely diagnose the problem.
So the main tests are to look at calcium and a test for parathyroid hormone, which we often kind of nickname PTH.
Correct.
And now let's talk a little bit about, in my experience, and I believe that I have missed this diagnosis many times in my career until this newer information has emerged. Now that we're all learning more about this, I do think that I have seen patients with low elevations of calcium, a little bit over 10, staying a little bit over 10. And often for them, when I have checked a parathyroid hormone level, it's been not over the upper, quote, upper limit of normal, but high-ish. And now I think the key thing that we're learning is that that is not something to be ignored.
Absolutely. You know, the relationship between the parathyroid hormone and the calcium levels normally is inverse. So in the normal ranges, if you were to look at someone having low calcium for whatever reason, for not taking enough calcium in their diet or so on, their PTH numbers should be on the upper limit of normal. On the other hand, if their calcium level is high in the bones, if they're taking a lot of calcium and so on, their PTH numbers should be low. This suppressive relationship or inverse relationship should always exist in someone who's normal. But if you have someone who has repeated high normal calciums and their PTH level is in the normal range but not in the lower end of normal persistently, then that person has the early stages of hyperparathyroidism.
So that should not be ignored. Rather than go, oh, okay, let's watch you for a couple of years and see what happens, if we were to check it out sooner and intervene, we could probably help thousands and thousands of people to recover their health a lot faster.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the patients who have this disease oftentimes have very variable presentation. You may have patients who have just high normal calciums and be completely debilitated by this disease, or you may have someone who has a very high calcium level, you know, completely out of the range and have very little symptoms. So the level of calcium does not correlate with the amount of symptoms that someone may have. And oftentimes, you may actually, if you look into this relationship and diagnose them early, you may save them from severe problems such as osteoporosis and kidney disease and mental disturbances that may follow.
So just watchful waiting is not something that sounds like an appropriate method for when we're looking at this kind of a problem.
No, indeed it's not. You know, the NIH in the 1990s, actually in a conference in 1990, came up with a set of guidelines for when someone should start to act and treat a patient who has hyperparathyroidism. And these guidelines were very arbitrary. They picked an age of 50 because they assumed that life expectancy in 1990 was in the mid-70s, and so 50 would be a right age to act. So if you were under the age of 50, you should have surgery. If you were over the age of 50, not to do anything, which is completely an arbitrary position. They said if you have a kidney stone, you should have it. If you have actually osteoporosis, you should have it, and so on. They came up with these particular guidelines that had nothing to do with actual symptoms. So they excluded symptoms out of this whole sequence, which oftentimes is not the case. Oftentimes patients come in with severe symptoms, such that they would be misdiagnosed as having fibromyalgia and are debilitated, but may not have osteoporosis, may not have kidney stone. And these poor patients are oftentimes just boxed into other diagnoses and ignored for years and years and mistreated until they develop osteoporosis or kidney disease and then someone pursues it. So the NIH, in doing this and trying to come up with a consensus as we went to treat, unfortunately created the situation where a lot of patients are underdiagnosed and undertreated and suffer from this. So watchful waiting is really only for patients who are not a candidate for treatment. If someone has got severe medical issues where they cannot have a procedure or have a contraindication to doing surgery of any kind, you know, that's really the only time.
Right. So we are learning more about this disease as time goes on, and we will come back to this in just a moment. First, I would like to introduce the first of my sponsors, and that would be Researched Nutritionals. Research Nutritionals is well known for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations that promote a healthier quality of life for some of our toughest patients. They're known for conducting clinical research on their formulations, and many of these products I use on a regular basis. So for today's program, I thought I would particularly mention one called Soothe and Relax. Relax spelled R-E-L-A-X-X. This combines a number of supplements that helps soft tissue, joint, and muscle support. It helps to take the edge off. It really does help people to sleep a little bit and would be particularly helpful with the inflammatory process that we're talking about now that the excess amount of calcium might promote. I'm not suggesting that it's a cure for this particular illness, but it could be something that would augment or supplement it. A second sponsor that I'd like to mention is Frequency-Specific Microcurrent. Frequency-Specific Microcurrent is a very, very safe, simple way to help the body recover faster, perhaps after surgery. It helps the tissues to heal faster. And so if that was something that you were contemplating, I very much encourage listeners to go to frequencyspecific.com for more information. And with that, we will go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Healthcare professionals spend a lot of time keeping the rest of us from losing it, getting too stressed out, and from burning out. But who helps the healthcare professional from avoiding the same things? A professional coach can help you avoid burnout, and by doing so, lead a healthier life. Tune in to Dr. Raji Menon's Stress Busters Corner. We're here to help those who help everyone else. We help them avoid burnout themselves. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have any questions, please call us at 1-866-472-5792 or email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net. Thank you for joining us. If you've just joined us, we have been discussing the importance of the parathyroid glands and the increasing realization that difficulties with these glands is much more common than we had realized, and the diagnosis of it is quite a bit more subtle than we'd realized as well. We like it in medicine when we have a slam dunk diagnosis, when the lab reports are so out of range that it's, it's this, and this is what's happening. But as we're talking about, any elevation of calcium, and that means, Dr. Larian, anything over 10, as far as I know, is something that needs to be thought about as possibly representing some dysfunction of the parathyroid glands, and then checking that by measuring the parathormone level, the parathyroid hormone, and if that is in the upper range of normal, not way low, that means that's something we want to be looking at.
That is absolutely correct. Those are the beginnings of laboratory findings in this disease, in early on in this disease.
Okay. So let's say we have a patient who meets those criteria. It has a patient has that, and they have some of the classical symptoms, recognizing that it's a wide range of symptoms, and many patients will present variously. Every patient will not present with every symptom. We never see that. So given that, patient comes to you, what would you do next to clarify the diagnosis, and then how would you approach treatment?
Well, I would look at the trending of both the calcium and parathyroid, and if that does correlate where the relationship is not inverse and both are elevated, that pretty much confirms the diagnosis. Once we've confirmed the diagnosis through looking at this pattern, what we have to do is figure out which one of the four parathyroids is abnormal. And there are many different localization studies, they're called, to do this. Now, traditionally, we were accustomed to using what's called a sesame bean nuclear scan. And that's when a patient is given an injection of a nuclear material, and sometime later they are scanned with essentially a Geiger counter and a scanner to show where this material concentrates to see an abnormal parathyroid. Now, this is a very good test. It has a fairly high accuracy rate, about 80%. But not a perfect test because it's not 100% accurate. But it does involve being exposed to radiation. So more recently, the doctors who have been involved with doing this type of studies are gearing more towards doing ultrasounds themselves in the office. And if an ultrasound, you can find the parathyroid, you can avoid a nuclear scan or even a CT scan, which both have radiation exposure. So ultrasound is the next best step in terms of trying to find an abnormal gland.
Okay, great. I've got a lot of interested listeners here. I have two callers, Dr. Larian. One is Heather from Minnesota, who had already emailed me a couple of questions that I was going to ask you after we had covered a bit more material. And the other one is Angela in Kansas. Okay, well, I guess that isn't the case. So, Heather, hang on there. We will get to it, but I think that your question would be better understood by our whole listener audience if we had Dr. Larian had a chance to explain a bit more here. Okay, so we have, instead of the sesamibe scan, what is replacing it now?
An ultrasound, a high-resolution ultrasound is a very good first step. It's a scan that doesn't involve any radiation exposure to the patient. And the great majority of times, you can find an abnormal parathyroid gland just by doing that.
Great. So that tells me if you're going to go in and operate, which is pretty much what we want to be doing next, that tells you where you want to be focusing your attention.
Absolutely. It's like a GPS system as to where the abnormal gland is because you can visualize it in relation to the thyroid gland, surrounding structures, blood vessels, and breathing tube, and so on. So you can know exactly where to go to find this abnormal gland.
Okay, so now we have a high calcium, a high parathyroid hormone level, and on ultrasound, we're seeing an enlarged gland. What do you do next?
Well, once we have this and we've localized it, what we have to do is we have to counsel the patients as to the disease process itself and how the surgery can be done. The options in terms of surgery are to do it under local anesthesia with varying degrees of sedation, mild sedation or twilight sedation where the patient is completely asleep, or do it with full anesthesia. And this is just really dependent on the patient, their medical condition, their health, and their preference. If the patients are calm and not anxious and are able to handle a procedure, then you can do it under the local anesthesia. And the surgery usually takes about 15, 20, 25 minutes. And that's about it. And the patients do really well and have very little recovery because they're not exposed to general anesthesia. And I think this is by far the best method of doing this particular surgery when you have, with your own eyes, found an abnormal parathyroid because you know exactly where to go.
I mean, wow. So people can be suffering at this for a long time, sometimes years, and you can fix it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a gratifying type of process to be involved with.
Right.
You and life-changing.
I mean, and safely, under local or twilight anesthesia. So, I mean, this sounds like we have a fabulous cure for something that is probably way more common than is appreciated now.
Absolutely, absolutely. This disease is very, very, very treatable, fortunately.
So to me, that's our take-home message, which is we have something that is frequently missed as a cause of illness for many of our patients. It's actually fairly easy to diagnose, but the key is the person looking at those lab reports needs to be aware that even a slight elevation of calcium or even a high normal level of parathyroid hormone may be very significant. And with that information, sounds like you can help them.
Absolutely. Now,
good.
Great majority of patients can be easily helped, and we can easily identify the abnormal gland. But if you can't find the enlarged parathyroid on ultrasound, that's when you have to go on to the higher level testing of the nuclear scan or CT scan. And if the patients have this disease where all four parathyroids are abnormal, and that happens about 5% of the time, you will not be able to find any difference between the parathyroids on any of these studies, in which case you have to go in, find all four parathyroids during the surgery, remove all of them, and leave half of one in there to still continue functioning. And that's a more involved process and requires expertise. Parathyroid surgery really does require expertise because there's a lot of nuances that are involved with both the surgery and the type of disease you're dealing with.
So, understood. And that's true for any surgical procedure. If you're going to get surgery, you want someone who has done a lot of them. You don't want your cardiac bypass done by someone who does one or two a year.
Correct. Absolutely not.
Right. And so how many of these would you say you've done now, Dr. Larian?
I don't know how many I've done overall, but I do 1 to 3 a week.
Okay. So you would put it in the thousands, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. So, again, that's the kind of surgeon you want to have. If you're going to have this done, you really want someone who does this all the time so that just as an example, the parathyroid glands usually sit right behind the thyroid gland, but sometimes there's a gland that would be in an aberrant location. It might be lower down, like near the thymus, or it might be not exactly where you would find it. So you'd want someone who has experience with that so they would know exactly where to look.
Correct.
Okay. And can you always see the aberrant glands on ultrasound, or is that something that you need more experience
no.
with?
No, unfortunately not. If the gland is behind the chest bone or all the way down in the chest, you won't be able to see it on ultrasound. If it's behind the breathing tube, the windpipe, also, you won't be able to see it on ultrasound, which because you'll have to resort to one of the other studies, sustenibi or CT scanning, to find it. And sometimes you won't be able to find it at all because it's, although abnormal, still not big enough to really show itself as a distinct entity.
Right, so it can be a little trickier than just, oh, okay, let's do my own. And in most cases, in the common scenarios, it would be like that. That's why you want an experienced surgeon, someone who knows that they need to be looking and where to look for this to happen. So
absolutely.
Let's take a moment. We'll come right back to this. Let's take a moment to present yet another of my great sponsors for the show. And I'd like to mention the BioResource Company. That's BioResource at 800-203-3775. That's BioResource at BioResourceInc.com. These are the folks that make a wide variety of German homeopathics. These unique homeopathics have the ability to do a lot of things to help the body to heal. Today I'd like to mention a number of the remedies. It seems that we might want to talk about the ones that affect stress in the body because we're talking about perhaps a surgical stress or the stress of having a chronic illness. And for that, they have a number of materials that specifically help that. To help fight adrenal resistance and too much cortisol in response to prolonged stress, they make a product called Suprene, S-U-P-R-E-N, which can help regulate the adrenal gland and its function. And if the adrenals reach a point of exhaustion where the production of hormones is low, the Pekana, P-E-K-N-A, product Neuregen, N-E-U-R-E-G-E-N, will really help to support proper function in that area as well. So that's BioResource at 1-800-203-3775. And I'd also mention the Natural Immunogenics Company, who make colloidal silver, which have great uses, not in this specific context, but using them nasally, orally, sometimes even intravenously, as a superb way to fight a wide variety of infections. And that's Natural Immunogenics, 888-328-8840. And you can learn much more at natural-immunogenics.com. And we'll go to a break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Tune in every Tuesday for C. diff, spores, and more with hosts Nancy Kerala and Dr. Chandrabali Ghosh. Our program is to provide information about C. diff, healthcare-associated infections, and more. Nancy is a C. diff survivor, healthcare professional, and the founder and executive director of the C. diff Foundation. And Dr. Ghosh is the chairperson of research and development for the C. diff Foundation. Together with their guests, we'll explore infection prevention, treatments, environmental safety, and more. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I've been joined by Dr. Barak Larian, a world-renowned expert in treating hyperparathyroidism, which we've been talking about. And I thought we'd start this next segment off by having a real live patient of Dr. Larian come on the show and talk about her experience. And it happens, no coincidences in this world, that the patient is Sue Gordon, who is one of my dearest friends and the wife of my medical partner, Eric Gordon. And Sue had really started feeling quite awful by last summer. And maybe, Sue, you could tell us about your experience.
Yes, I'd like to very much. I had probably had some symptoms, but certainly didn't recognize them over the last 5 years. And that would be related to a lot of exercise that I did, so I kind of wrote it off as to overdoing my exercise regime or just getting older, which was also the case. But a lot of muscle pain, a lot of joint discomfort, poor sleep pattern certainly was part of it. But 4 to 5 months ago, these definitely increased 4 to 5 months prior to my diagnosis, and the episodes got more frequent. It wasn't waxing and waning, it was kind of often and more intense, accompanied by exhaustion and brain fog that I never had before. But that still came and went till about 6 weeks prior to the surgery. And then the brain fog and exhaustion became daily and so intense that I had to give up all of my exercise and really had trouble navigating life at all.
Right. I'm used to seeing Sue as very high energy. She takes multiple exercise classes a week. She's very active, runs a very large household. And last summer I saw her as I'd never seen her before. She just looked exhausted. She could not put one foot in front of the other, and your eyes were glassy, and you weren't Sue at that point. And just to give readers and Dr. Larian a refresher of her numbers, we'd followed Sue's calciums for a very long time. Since 2012, it was up at 10.7, and it's just roughly stayed at that level with very few fluctuations all the way up for 2 years until kind of the time of the surgery. The parathyroid hormone level was not technically out of the normal range, but was 56 on one occasion and 64 by the end of July. So that's when you went to see Dr. Larian.
Correct.
And?
I'd had an ultrasound done. That one gland showed to be enlarged on that ultrasound, and for him, that along with the high calcium and parathyroid hormone made the diagnosis. So I had surgery, and that surgery was wonderful. I mean, I was an outpatient. I was in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and out at 6, and out for dinner that night. It probably full recovery took about a week, but I was back to doing 5 to 7 classes of exercise within a week. So it was quite amazing. Also, I'm still left with more than 3 glands because he apparently dissected out the bad one and put part back in. So I still have 3+ parathyroid glands.
Which we understand to be more than enough to take you through forever.
I'm hoping that's the case. I've had calcium and parathyroid hormone checked since, and everything at surgery went back to normal within 15 minutes and has stayed normal.
Right. So I've got numbers showing your parathyroid level immediately after surgery went from 64 to 27, and then your calcium level immediately came down from 10.6 to 9.3, and it's stayed there since then, smack in the normal range. So, Dr. Larian, here's apparently an unsolicited testimonial to your fine work. Any thoughts about her experience?
First, Sue, it's so wonderful to hear you're doing so well. This is a very typical situation that happens. Patients going undiagnosed for years and then suffering and then symptoms progressing. And at some point, they finally do get diagnosed. Oftentimes, the patients diagnose themselves by going through the internet and looking for problems because they're feeling frustrated with the lack of diagnosis and lack of activity in terms of trying to help them out. And they finally come to an endocrinologist or a surgeon to try to treat it to life. And patients immediately start feeling better. The aches and pains immediately are the first symptoms, in fact, to go away are the aches and pains, followed by the neurologic symptoms. And it really is a miraculous surgery. As a surgeon, as a physician, it feels amazingly good to be able to make it such a life-changing surgery for someone and do it so simply.
And I have to tell you, my exhaustion and brain fog was so intense that the internet search would not have been possible for me.
Right. But fortunately, you have a doting husband who did the work.
I have a team.
Yes.
I had a team, correct.
Yeah. You had a team. And so I can testify, within a week of surgery, Sue was back to being Sue again. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing to watch. So, I mean, that motivated me to want to bring Dr. Larian on the show so that we can bring this message to hopefully millions of people who may be suffering unnecessarily without realizing that... Yes, they've had these little bit of elevated calciums for a very long time, and it just has been not realized because, unfortunately, and I was one of them, I did not know this information before, and that's why it's so important to bring it forward here. Okay, so I do have a caller on hold, Karen from Louisiana. Is she still there?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Okay, Karen, what's your question?
I have a bit of a complicated question. I'm a 33-year-old female who has had four previous surgeries, and I've had persistent parathyroid disease. My question is this. I have a lot of the mental symptoms of anxiety, depression, and it gets very severe at times. And so my general practitioner is trying to help ease some of those symptoms and said that possibly trying a low ortho estrogen may help and may actually help bring down the PTH. But when I read the packet, it says do not take if you have high calcium. So, what to do?
Okay, I think that one's for you, Dr. Larian.
Well, you know, the only medication that we know of that can help bring down the level of PTH and activity is Sensipar. And it's a very short-term treatment until we get someone into the operating room and are able to help them surgically. Or for patients who cannot have surgery, are ill enough where they can't have anesthesia. The only other thing that we know of that can help at least slow down the process of osteoporosis that accompanies this disease is taking vitamin D supplements, which allows the calcium that needs to go into your blood to come from your diet rather than from your bones. Those are the only things that we know of that can help. None of the other things that we have tested or tried have panned out in big studies.
Okay, well, I think that answers my question.
Okay, and again, I would mention, this may not be relevant here, and we obviously don't have the time to go into this in detail with you, Karen, but if you've had the surgery and you still have residual symptoms, then you probably want to consider more of a complete workup like we normally talk about in the show. You want to look for things like mold toxicity, and look at your adrenals, and look at your thyroid, and look at your hormones, because my understanding, Dr. Larian, is once this gets fixed, it's fixed.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. If you're still having symptoms, you either have something else in addition to this, or you still have an abnormal gland in there.
It remains
to be found.
Right. So, Karen, I hope that is helpful to you. And
okay, yes, sir. Thank you all very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
And thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Sue, thank you very much for sharing your story and your experience with us. I hope that helps make it more real for our listeners that this really is something that can be treated and fixed and worked on. We're going to go to a break in a few moments. But I had a couple of questions from Heather, which I think are long questions, Dr. Larian, so we can start them on this side of the break and then continue them later. The questions were, number one, what's the best way for patients who work, who have some mildly abnormal tests to convince their doctor that they really should consider this diagnosis? In other words, do you find using peer-reviewed articles helpful, or is there any information that patients can bring to their doctors that they could perhaps take this more seriously? And the second question, I said this was going to be complicated, how do you see educational advancements in this field developing in the next few years? So let's begin that, and we'll take a bit of a break, and we'll continue that.
Okay. You know, every physician has been trained to understand this dynamic between calcium and parathyroid hormone. And if you find that your calciums are high, then you have to ask your physician to really consider the dynamic relationship between PTH and calcium. And if they were to track it and see that that relationship is not inverse, it'll be an impetus for them to investigate this more for themselves. You know, they may not have experience with it, but that'll be abnormal because oftentimes what physicians feel is that, okay, you may have a slightly elevated calcium. It's of no consequence. It's not a big deal. But if that's accompanied with a parathyroid hormone that is not persistently low, then that'll set off some alarms for them. So you have to try to convince them that they should at least look into the parathyroid option as a possibility, and at least track it. Maybe just two sets of blood tests, two calcium and PTH is done even as early as 1 week apart, will tell the story. If that doesn't do the job, then there's plenty of peer-reviewed journals talking about this possibility and the fact that this disease goes underdiagnosed and undiagnosed in the majority of patients who have them.
Right. That's a good start to that question. I've got one more sponsor that I'd like to bring forth to our listening audience, and that is the real-time laboratories. The real-time laboratories are the folks that do a great job of analyzing your urine or nasal wash materials for the presence of mold toxins. And we've been emphasizing how underdiagnosed mold toxicity is in our country as well. I've just been told by Dr. Hooper, who is the head of the lab, that they will have an assay for gliotoxin, which is a very important toxin, up and available shortly, so that will add to our ability to make this diagnosis and help our patients who have that illness. So learn more by going to realtimelab.com or call them for more information at 855-692-6767, and we'll go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Varak Larian, who is an internationally recognized surgeon and pioneer in the treatment of hyperparathyroidism. And we've been discussing this in, I hope, the kind of detail that would be helpful for us. I have a second part of a question that one of our listeners, Heather, from Minnesota, asked us, and it was, how do you see the educational advancements in this field developing over the next few years, Dr. Larian?
Well, I think what needs to be done is that for primary care physicians to have an increased awareness of this issue, of this problem, and how to diagnose it both clinically and in terms of laboratory study. And surgeons who are involved in this field who see how deeply this affects patients are all out giving lectures and talks and going to meetings and trying to present the importance of this disease. Additionally, there's lots of resources on the Internet that allows patients to find answers for themselves and find resources to try to find assistance with this disease process.
Great, and I hope that this is one area for you. Being on this show allows you to reach well over 20,000 people reasonably quickly, with more people archiving the show as we go. So we hope that
Wonderful.
We can contribute to that educational effort.
Absolutely.
So During the break, you were mentioning that there are some advances in intraoperative diagnosis that you wanted to talk about. So why don't we discuss that as well?
Absolutely. Now, in the past, the PTH blood test was something that was very cumbersome and used to take 2 to 3 days. But more recently, we've been able to advance the technology, and the blood test can be done during the operation. So it's a blood test that takes anywhere between 5 to 25 minutes now to do. And so because the half-life of parathyroid hormone, PTH, is 5 minutes, once you do the surgery and you remove an abnormal parathyroid gland, if 10 minutes later you do a blood test of the patient and compare it to a blood test that was done before the surgery, the number should go down by at least 50%, if not more. And when that number does go down by this percentage and more, you know you have a confirmation of the success of your procedure during the operation. This is important because 10% of the patients have more than one gland that's abnormal. They have either 2, 3, or all 4 that are abnormal. And sometimes those patients that have multiple abnormal glands will have one of the glands be very enlarged and abnormal and the rest be only slightly abnormal. And those types of situations may not present themselves during an ultrasound, a sestamibi scan, or a CT scan. And you can only find it during the surgery if you have an additional type of study that can help you. And so the intraoperative PTH testing has revolutionized the field, I believe, because it allows you to physiologically know what the body is doing, because you can rely on the hormone levels to give you an answer as to how successful you have been and what condition the patient is going to be in after the surgery is done.
Does it ever happen that you do a successful surgery and things are fine, and then later on another of the parathyroid gland develops an adenoma and needs to be looked at?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it does. It's about roughly about 3% of the patients who have one adenoma removed and have an appropriate decline in their PTH numbers and calcium may develop another one that's abnormal anywhere between a few months or years later. And the reasoning is that there is some sort of a toxin in the environment that causes one gland to become abnormal. And because we don't know what that is and what's causing it, and the patients may be still exposed to that toxin, they may develop another one that's abnormal. So I really advise all my patients to regularly, once a year when they're doing their annual blood test, to check their calcium and PTH and always do so.
And that's important, both for follow-up and also to understand that from what you're saying and from what I think I understand, we still don't know the ultimate cause of what would make the body grow a little tumor, and it's not cancerous, but a little tumor in the parathyroid gland in the first place.
Correct. The only cause that we know is radiation exposure, but majority of the patients who have this disease have not had radiation exposure, so we don't really know the true cause of it. We know there are genetic changes that happen, mutations that happen, multiple mutations that are happening. We just don't know what's the source of those mutations.
Okay, and in the last few minutes, perhaps you could say a little bit more about the accuracy of lab testing, because we've talked about this a lot on the show before, that some physicians have a habit of taking lab numbers more rigidly than would be the scientific way of looking at those numbers.
Absolutely. You know, when we get a laboratory result and we see a range that's normal, that range of normal is for a population. And how we come up with that is that looking at a bell curve of all the patients, let's say in Southern California where I'm at, 100,000 people who do a calcium blood test, we say 95% of those must be healthy, and 2.5% up top and 2.5% on the bottom are unhealthy of this curve. And that's how we come up with a range of normal. That's not an individual's normal, though. A person may have a very narrow range of normal for their own personal calcium levels where they function efficiently. And if they go a little bit outside of that normal range for themselves, a little bit higher than that, they may run inefficiently. But the number on laboratory studies may still look to be normal for the population. And that's the nuance that really oftentimes leads to misdiagnosis of these patients. And that's why trending the calcium is important talking to the patients and seeing if they have this complex of symptoms that goes along with hyperparathyroidism and comparing the PTH level at that point. And if there is no suppressive relationship, there's no inverse relationship between calcium and PTH during that time period when you're trending, then you know that you have a patient that has early onset or early on in the disease of hyperparathyroidism and has to be treated.
Right. So if there's no inverse relationship, that means that the balance of the parathyroid and the hormone that it makes in calcium levels is not happening, meaning there is something, usually a tumor, in the parathyroid that is making an excessive amount of hormone that's throwing this balance out. And you can see that with serial regular measurements.
Correct, correct.
And again, you're emphasizing something we've talked about not only with calcium and parathyroid numbers, we've talked about it with the thyroid gland, all hormonal numbers. We can get a number on a lab slip that tells us it's a number. And what it doesn't tell us is this normal for the individual that I am looking at right this minute? It is normal in a bell-shaped curve for a very large population, but may not be for this person. And particularly, we have found with hormonal materials, hormones really vary a lot. So for all our listeners out there, this is yet another way of looking at. We just have to scrutinize our lab results, asking the question, yeah, it's normal, but is it normal for this person? And so, Dr. Larian, I so much appreciate your being on the show today. I hope that we've been able to really interest our listening audience in this and helping them wonder, what is my calcium? And if it is up, what is my parathyroid hormone? And then they could come see you and get it fixed. So thank you again for being on the show. Next week, I would like you to know that we're having a different kind of a show. We're going to talk about Chinese medicine and acupuncture with Lauren Gordon-Fahn, a young and very enthusiastic, knowledgeable person in this area, and we're going to delve into that next week. So thank you all for listening. Be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.